Today is the first Sunday after Easter. And this Friday is the first Friday of the month. And I ask that you please sign up in the vestibule for an hour of adoration. And we are in need of at least two adorers for each hour. The Monday night devotions for tomorrow, Monday, May 6th, are canceled, and they will resume the following Monday, May 13th. The Holy Hour with Confessions will resume this Thursday, May 2nd. The annual St. Pius V Boys and Dads Games against the seminary are scheduled for Monday, May 6th at 6 p.m. at the Candlewood Middle School Gymnasium in Dix Hills. Refreshments and team accessories will be sold, and I ask that you please mark your calendars to hold that day to participate. The next conference by Bishop Sante will be held on Thursday, May 9th at 7:30 p.m. at the school. And the men's retreat will be held in Round Top from May 31st through June 2nd. There are flyers in the back of the chapel for more information. A retreat is a great time to receive many graces and blessings, so I do encourage the men to register, especially if you have never made a retreat or if it's been a few years since your last one. I know that for especially our fathers and the men here, your lives are very busy and that it is difficult to get away for a few days, but the busyness of your schedule is all the more reason you should set aside the time. Because making a retreat can be very helpful in many ways. Most importantly, you will have the opportunity to focus on the one thing that matters the most in this life, and that is saving your soul. By taking this brief retirement from worldly cares and business, you will then be able to return to your duties with renewed energy. And you can be sure that the Sacred Heart of Jesus will richly reward you for setting aside this time to focus on God and the salvation of your soul. In fact, St. Alphonsus de Liguria tells us, whoever dies within a year of making a good retreat will be sure to go to heaven. And so, therefore, I especially encourage the young men and the fathers of the chapel to make time to provide for the needs of your soul. And finally, I would like to welcome anyone who may be here for the first time. And I'd like to mention that all are always most welcome to attend our Masses, but in order to receive Holy Communion, there are rules for the reception of Holy Communion. And the rules and requirements for the reception of Holy Communion are printed on the back of the bulletin, and they are also posted in the vestibule of the chapel. And I would ask that anyone who is new to the chapel to please contact the office to let Father know that you are a new parishioner and to give us an opportunity to meet you. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Epistle of St. John, chapter 4-5. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples, therefore, were glad when they saw the Lord. He said, therefore, to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also sent you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not incredulous, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Let's hear the words of today's Holy Gospel. Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed. These words are taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last Sunday, my dear faithful, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. The resurrection is the most central and essential teaching of the Catholic religion. For without belief in the resurrection of our Lord, our faith is vain. In other words, if our Lord did not rise from the dead, we would, as St. Paul refers to this, we would be the greatest of fools. Throughout his public life, our Lord often foretold that he would rise again on the third day. When our Lord drove the many money changers out of the temple, he compared himself to Jonas, the Old Testament prophet who was swallowed by a whale and spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, just as our Lord spent 3 days in the ground. In the Gospel of St. John, he said of his own body, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And again in the Gospel of St. John, he claimed the power of laying down his life and taking it up again. However, after the death of our Lord, we read that the Jews asserted that the disciples had stolen the body of Christ. But for such an event to occur, it was far beyond their power. The great stone that covered the sepulchre could not have been moved without waking at least some of the guards. And besides, as St. Augustine says, these guards could not have been accepted as witnesses if they were asleep. Furthermore, it is remarkable that the soldiers were not punished for their breach of duty. Down through the centuries, many have maintained that Christ was dead only in appearance. And after an interval of time, he recovered from his swoon and left the grave. But the pain and the loss of blood following on the scourging and the crowning of thorns would have been enough to cause his death. And the wound in his side alone, so great that St. Thomas, as we read in today's Gospel, could thrust in his hand, that wound in itself would have been fatal. Even when Christ was going to the place of execution, he was too weak to carry his cross. How could he, after 36 hours in a tomb, remove the long wrapping of his grave cloths, roll away the stone, and make his way out on feet yet fresh from the wounds of the nails? The death of Christ was officially verified and reported to Pilate. And his bones were not broken by the soldiers because they saw that he was dead. The blood and water which flowed from the side of Christ after the piercing with the lance were a sign of death. His Holy Mother and his friends would never have placed him in a tomb unless he had been dead. Our Lord died on the cross, he was buried, and on a third day he rose from the dead. The resurrection is a most undoubted fact. Indeed, there is no fact in history more certain than the resurrection. And yet no fact has been the object a fiercer attack from atheists, unbelievers, and anti-Christians than the resurrection. On the evening of the first Easter Sunday, he appeared to the apostles in the upper room when Thomas was not with them. The following Sunday, he appeared again, and this time Thomas was there. This is the Gospel we read in today's Mass. And the Church presents the very familiar passage from the Gospel of St. John depicting our Lord and St. Thomas. She does this in order to strengthen our faith. God used the doubt of St. Thomas the Apostle to confirm us in a faith because, as St. Gregory the Great says, his disbelief was most useful to strengthen the faith of subsequent believers. And thus, when Thomas finally put his finger into the holes in our Lord's hands and his hand into his side, he believed. And Christ said, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." None of us here has seen or touched the wounds of Christ. We have not put our fingers into the wounds in his hands or put our hands into his side, and yet we believe. How grateful we should be. For our Lord has preserved us in the practice of our one true faith. The world may ridicule us for this. It may mock us for our Catholic morals.
Our own family and friends may despise us for holding on to the traditions of the church and not going along with the false teachings of the new church. But we still persevere. We have not seen, and yet we believe. We believe with the eyes of faith. Let us be grateful, my dear faithful, to our Lord for the gift of our Catholic faith. And let us pray to our Blessed Mother that she may obtain for us the grace of a greater faith. During this Easter season, we proclaim our belief in the resurrection, and we say with St. Thomas, my Lord and my God. That is why Holy Mother the Church grants a 7-year indulgence to all those who at the elevation of the Sacred Host during Mass recite this short prayer with faith, piety, and love. My Lord and my God. And in this age characterized by unbelief and immorality, let us never forget the consoling words of Christ addressed to doubting Thomas and to us. Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.